Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version, beginning at verse 11, and reading down to the end of the chapter. Book of Deuteronomy is really kind of a farewell address from Moses to the Israelites. And for most of this book, he's reviewed their history with them and comes towards the end of what he has to say. And there is this passage, Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 11. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Father, as we spend a little bit of time in your word together, I ask once again that your Spirit would take your word and make it live in our hearts, and that we would come to your word with hearts prepared to respond to you. I ask, Lord, that you be the one that is heard this morning, and that I not get in your way. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any Indiana Jones fans in the room today? Well, we have a few. Harrison Ford movies. One of my favorite scenes from those Indiana Jones movies appears in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where Harrison Ford is in search of the Holy Grail. And he finds it. He finds it protected by an ancient knight. Now, the bad news is the enemy finds it as well. And there in this cave, guarded by the knight, are dozens and dozens and dozens of goblets. And the dilemma is, which is the right one? And the enemy chooses one. Beautiful goblet. Perhaps the most beautiful one there. Thinking, this must be it. And he takes it and puts water in it and drinks with the expectation that the result will be life. The bad news is that it was the wrong goblet. And instead of life, it leads to death, as we see in this dramatic scene that I won't show you this morning because my wife wouldn't let me. Of this poor guy aging before our eyes, turning into a skeleton, a dust, and death. And the scene is summed up by this ancient knight in three memorable words that may be the best line out of all of the Indiana Jones movies. He chose poorly. He chose poorly. Yeah, he did. Life is about choices. And it behooves us to make wise ones, especially when it comes to the important matters of life. Moses, 120 years old, understands that life is about choices. And as he stands before the people, his parting words are to call them to choosing wisely rather than poorly. Choose life, he says. Well, you think about it for a moment, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't choose life? It's such a sensible decision. But history, the Word, tells us that the Israelites frequently didn't choose life. Repeatedly, over the last four decades, they tried to find a different leader to take them back to Egypt. It wasn't life and blessing that they were choosing. Well, it seems to me that this Christian journey that all of us are on begins with a choice, and it continues with choices that we make day after day. And Moses' encouragement to the people in the text we're looking at to choose wisely, to choose life, is his encouragement to us as well. To make a choice that makes sense, that has good results instead of bad ones. And to not end up with our lives summed up in those terrible but memorable three words, he chose poorly. Choose life, Moses says. Well, maybe. Maybe. Isn't that the way we respond to invitations like that? Maybe I'll choose life. You need to check it out first. Well, four things the people needed to know and we need to know as well. Number one, the choice is possible. It is possible. Moses says to these people, this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. It is not too hard for you. I confess I have heard people raise that objection when it comes to choosing life. Choosing a life lived for Christ. Choosing to let Him be Lord of their life. That's too hard. That's too difficult. I can't do that. It's too tough to be a Christian. Have you heard that? Moses says it isn't. It's not too hard for you. Or perhaps even more often we've heard the objection, well, I'm not good enough for that. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it.
You're right.
And if that's what you think or what you have thought, I have good news for you. True! Absolutely true. You are not worthy. That's what grace is all about. It's what grace is all about. The gift of life is not something you earn. It's something you're given. It's a gift. This commandment that I command you today, it's not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. Not only is it possible, it's personal. It's personal. It's not in heaven that you should say, well, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? This is some kind of a foreign concept. Yeah, it turns out choosing life is not a matter of culture. It's not a matter of where you live or where you grew up or what life is like for you. That's why it's possible for there to be great evangelistic results among Muslims. Wow. I came to Christ as a kid in England. I didn't have to give up my Englishness to accept Christ. I remained a Christian when my family came to the United States. And I didn't have to give up my Americanness to be a Christian. And I remained a Christian when I taught in a secular classroom. But I didn't have to give up my secular teaching to be a Christian. And I remained a Christian when I became a pastor. And I didn't even have to give up my Christianity in order to be in the church. Oh, you laugh. But it can happen. Christianity is not a matter of Western culture. It's not something that folks have to go over the sea to get, or it shouldn't be. It is, Moses said, near you. It's for you personally. And this group of people who are going to enjoy life, I want to encourage you, every once in a while, go back and read the description in Revelation 5 of that scene before the throne with people from every tribe and tongue and nation, every people group represented together, singing a new song before the Lord. And I've got to tell you, there have been times I've scratched my head and say, I wonder what the music's like. Is this Indian music? Is this hip-hop? Is this Southern gospel? Is this classical? And the answer might be yes, 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 and yes. Because there are going to be people there from all over. Every people group represented. Now, Moses says, what I'm asking of you today is near you. It's for you personally. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you're like. The word, verse 14, is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. It's possible to choose life. It's personal. I suppose it goes without saying that it's preferable as well. Oh, look at the options. Life or death? Well, now let me think about that for a moment. Which do I want, life or death? Hard choice, isn't it? Not a hard choice. Good or evil? Verse 15, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. But here is where some people stumble. If I'm going to accept the gift of life and good, then I need to come to grips with the reality that there is evil. There is another option to which I'm saying no. And sad to say, I live in a world where some people have difficulty doing that. Where some people actually can't quite wrap their minds around the fact that there is evil. And when they do, sometimes they run into a second problem. because they discover that in the midst of an evil world, they need to be able to accept as well the reality that there is a God who loves them. Did you know that? There is a God and He loves you. I know there are times when some of us have said that a little facetiously. Something good happens, we say, yes, there is a God and He does love me. But it's true. There is a God and He does love you. And He's shown that to you in all kinds of ways. I wonder what the Israelites were thinking as they listened to Moses. There is a God and He does love us. He's brought us here finally to the edge of the land that He's promised for decades. That's a long time. Beginning of Deuteronomy actually tells us how long this journey should have taken from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. You know what it says? 11 days. An 11-day journey. It's an 11-day journey that took almost 40 years. Did God forget about these people during that time? No. Not at all. He loved them. So do I want life? Or do I want death? Do I want good? Or do I want evil? Seems like a pretty plain, straightforward choice. But still there are people who get hung up. Choosing life is profitable as well. Verse 15, Moses says, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. He says it in a slightly different way in verse 19. And he trades in the words good and evil for the words blessing and curse. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Well, if I struggle a little bit over what's good and what's evil in this morally ambiguous climate that we all live in, maybe it's easier for me to think in terms of blessing and curse. Do I want to experience the blessing of God, or do I want to experience the curse of God? Well, now, there's a tough question. More than once, the Israelites have heard lists of blessing and curse. You can go back a couple of chapters in Deuteronomy, and Moses listed it for them in chapter 28. The blessing of obedience, the curse of disobedience. Go back to the giving of the law in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. The chapter deals with the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. Let me just read you some of that. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments, then, God says, I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing. And you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. and I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept, and you shall clear out the old to make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. And I've broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. Who wouldn't choose that? As you look at the description of what it means to be blessed in that context, it's pretty easy to see whether we're being blessed or not. I get to choose between the care of God or the consequences of my choices. And Moses says, choose life. Choose life. What does that actually look like? Choosing life. Whether you are for the very first time choosing life, and maybe you're here and you've never invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and you need to choose life. Many of you have done that. But you still, day by day, need to be choosing life. Choosing Him. What does that kind of life look like? Moses helps us out. And if you look at verse 20, there are three phrases there that describe it beautifully. Verse 19, Moses says, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God. Loving the Lord your God. Do you love the Lord your God? That's a sort of a stupid question to ask, Pastor. Who's going to say no to that? But I mean it, really. Do you actually love the Lord? Do you know Him well enough to love Him? Have you gotten acquainted with Him that well? See, my invitation to you today is to fall in love with Jesus Christ. To love the Lord. Because He's in love with you. And He's demonstrated it. Second phrase, obeying His voice. Yeah, well, that one gets a little tougher, doesn't it? Obeying His voice. Okay, that means I actually need to be listening to what He says. How do I listen to what God says? Well, can I give you a hint? It's what He said. It's in the book. I need to listen. And I need to do what he says, understanding that my Lord actually does know what's best for me. And he loves me unconditionally. So what he asks of me, what he tells me to do, is a result of his love, an expression of his love. And if I say no to that, I'm not choosing life and I'm not choosing blessing. Obeying his voice. Third phrase, holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days. Holding fast to him. Don't let go. Don't let go. I would imagine those of us that have been around for a while don't have difficulty thinking of folks who have let go. Who at one point in their life were faithful followers of the Lord. But for one reason or another, drifted, let go, and headed their own way. And as a result, missed out on blessing. I gotta tell you, I think that's a lousy way to live life. I think Moses actually got it right. Choose life. Don't let go. Stay close. If you've never accepted Christ, that means inviting him to be your Lord. And if you have, it means letting him be your Lord in practice day by day. Living with him on the throne of your life instead of you on the throne of your life. That's choosing life. That's choosing blessing. That's choosing good. And the results are a whole lot better than choosing the other way. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Moses would not live to see who did and who didn't. But those who listened would. Father, help us to choose wisely, today and every day, to let you be what you desire to be, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Thank you for the depth of your love. I haven't found the bottom of it yet. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for your invitation to choose you and choose life day after day after day. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.